All right, we're continuing on sound. This session, we're going to look at the 7 most common problems with sound and how to fix them. Nehemiah 12:43 again. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced. The sound of the rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Now, with our natural voices, the tone and quality of it is, it's dependent on the space, it's dependent on the person's personal voice. But today, we can shape this sound. And unlike back in the day, we have sound problems. So I'm sure you've experienced some of those if you've been a worshiper. What are the most common problems and how do we fix them? Number one, the first common problem is not enough power. Years ago, the power of an amp, which is rated in watts, even though they're called amps, was expensive. The power, so if you wanted a lot of power, amps cost a lot of money. So speakers were made really efficient so that the speaker really didn't need a whole lot of power. I still have an old system 30 years ago, and it's 50 watts per channel, and the speakers sound wonderful, and they can be as loud as you want them to be. But speakers were made efficient, and power was small. But now powerful amps are relatively cheap, so amps have become a lot cheaper. So speakers are made more cheaply today, thus requiring a lot of power. So most churches do not have enough power for the speakers they're running and the volume level they're running them at. So the result of all that is a lot of feedback and distortion problems, and the sound just doesn't sound very good. And I mean, it will still work. You'll still get have something. You'll be able to hear the guitars and the piano and the singers and so on. But the sound never will be good. There'll be all these problems. And part of it is you just don't have enough power. So the fix, check the power rating on your speakers. Every speaker says what its power rating is. And then double it when you're looking for a new amp. You want way more power than what the speaker actually requires. And then you don't have to use all that power. You can set the amp at half. And then you don't have all this distortion and feedback problems. That leads us to number two, distortion problems. It might be the lack of power, or it might be that you're too high on the gain volume level for some or all of the channels on your soundboard or your mixing board. Distortion is when you're talking and the speaker seems like it's cracking and the sound is just breaking up. I mean, guitar players like to play with distortion. And we've gotten used to that sound. But when you're singing and playing something that you don't want distorted, it doesn't sound very good. And I know a lot of outdoor venues. You know, I've been to places in Indonesia and Malaysia, and especially in outdoor places. I've been into Africa. And when there's an outdoor venue and there's hundreds and hundreds of people, and then you have this small little sound system, people want to crank it as loud as they can. And you have this distorted sound. It's just like, you know, someone's yelling and the sound is breaking up and it just sounds horrible and you can hardly understand what the person is saying. Well, sometimes it's not the lack of power. It's just that one of those buttons on the individual channel strip, one of those buttons is just too high for the particular thing that you're playing. So the fix, what's the fix? The fix is what's called the gain control. Why is gain needed? Mics and sometimes guitars have little amplification in themselves and need a boost. So if I'm speaking on this mic, it produces a little bit of volume, creates a wave in and of itself, and then it creates an electric impulse of that wave. And it goes to the mixer, which goes to the amplifier. But when it goes to the mixer, it has so little volume that you're making the amp do all the work. And so what you do is on the mixer on that channel strip, there's a, it's called the gain. And so with the gain with a mic, you have to turn that gain quite high because the mic doesn't have a lot of volume. The problem is when you hook up like a keyboard or something, and the keyboard actually can have a lot of power coming out of the keyboard. So then it goes into the mixer, and then you have that gain knob that you had set pretty high for the mic, and now you have it set high for the guitar or the keyboard. And now when you play the keyboard, it starts distorting. It starts distorting because that gain control is way too high. So the goal of the gain control is to go over each individual input and find out where, you know, high, low, middle is the best for the overall sound. And the problem with like a keyboard is it has its own volume that it's sending to, so you can adjust that. So you can adjust the keyboard volume, you can adjust the gain volume, and then of course you have the slider later on to adjust the volume, and then you have the total control over the whole board volume. So there's all these different volume controls, and when they get out of balance, then you get distortion. So what you need to do is, number one, turn down the volume level on the instrument. So you take the instrument, and you don't want the instrument producing, you know, excessive amounts of volume, or it ends up getting distorted. And number two, turn down the volume level on the gain control to where it sounds pretty good, and then go to that slider on the bottom and see how much total volume you can get. And if you can get as loud as you want, then you've got the gain in the right place. But the goal is to turn that gain down as low as you can. If you have the gain way high, then when you turn the slider up, you get all this distorted sound. So a lot of times, I know, especially in outdoor venues, people just use that gain control like a volume control, and they just crank it way up, and they just turn every volume lever that can go higher, because they want more volume. But then the speakers break up, and the sound is unintelligible. I know it's loud, but people can't understand what's being said. Number three, harsh sound, or the harmonies don't blend. It's, you know, as a singer, it's hard to sing. You know, when you go into a library, if you were to try to sing in a library, all these books absorb the ambiance of the room. When you talk into a regular room and it has hard walls, the sound waves are bouncing off the walls and it's creating a little bit of delay. If you go into a shower stall and it's all a ceramic tile, and when you sing, it's like, wow, it feels like I'm in a cathedral. And my voice is bouncing off all these walls and coming at me from every angle. And even if I'm not that great of a singer, it sounds pretty good. So a lot of people sing in the shower, but no one sings in the library because the library is just dead. It's like a vacuum, and it just takes the sound and sucks it right out of you. And if you're in a dead space, it's just hard to talk. It's hard to sing. And so sometimes with the soundboard, you're singing, and maybe the space, the worship space, has got a lot of chairs. It's got carpet on the ground. People have their suits on or whatever, and the sound just gets it can't bounce off things. Maybe it's a low ceiling, and maybe there's ceiling tile in the ceiling, and ceiling tile just eats up the sound. It doesn't bounce off the ceiling tile, and the sound is just dead. Right now I have on this, it's just dead. I talk, when I'm done talking, it just boop, boop, it just dies. If I were to sing Amazing Grace, it has no feeling of wideness or bigness. It's it's very hard. It's very, you know, when I'm in a dead place and I'm just preaching, it's just very wearing. So what's the fix for this dead sound? The fix is what's called reverb. And reverb is what happens when I talk and it bounces off the wall and it reverberates. It keeps coming in waves and it makes the sound last longer. Why is reverb needed? Most singers are a bit off with their pitch, you know. Now, am I dead on? You know, if someone else is singing next to me and they're trying to sing the same note and they're just slightly higher or slightly lower. And even when I'm singing, I'm not totally dead on. I might be a little flat, I might be a little sharp, I might go a little high, I might go a little low. So most singers are a bit off with their pitch, and reverb sort of spreads out the pitch. It makes it bigger and a little more fuzzy. It's less accurate. In a reverb place, with reverb it's more forgiving. So you have people that are learning how to sing and they're trying to sing harmony, and if someone's just slightly off, if there's no reverb, you hear it, you notice it. The sound doesn't mesh and become one sound. It sounds like five people singing separate things, and it just doesn't blend together. Two, it helps blend different voices into one sound. So you have four people singing harmony, and it sounds like one thing, one big, huge voice that has all these different, you know, nuances to it. But without reverb, it sounds harsh, and it sounds like separate people, and it just doesn't go together. So how do you fix reverb? Let me show you that. Let me show you the reverb on this thing here. This is no reverb. This is reverb. This is a lot of reverb. Hello! See how my voice just keeps going? Hello! So that's too much. Now it sounds like we're in some cathedral and you can hardly understand the words. So you gotta back it off. Hello, hello, hello. We don't have a good EQ here. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. See, now I feel like I don't have to work so hard at singing. I can sing soft. Amazing grace. It's fun to sing when there's a little bit of reverb. Without the reverb, it's just amazing grace. It's just dead, and it's just hard. It's even hard to do it. Now, people that are really good singers, you know, they can do it. They're dead on, and it's fine, and they can make something sound regardless of reverb. But for most situations, a little reverb certainly helps. Number four. Unclean words in the song, or tin can sound, or like the sound is distant, or a booming sound, or a harsh ear-splitting sound. So something about the tone is just not right. It just doesn't sound very pleasant. So what's the fix? The fix is called EQ, and that's where we're dealing with the highs and the mids and the lows, just like on a stereo system or your iPod. You can go into the EQ setting and you can like boost the highs or boost the lows. That's what a soundboard has on it as well. So why is EQ needed? All rooms absorb different frequencies, and frequencies tell us whether a pitch is high or low. Okay, so if it's a fast frequency, the waves are going very fast, it's a high pitch. If the frequencies are going very big, then it's a low pitch. So rooms absorb these frequencies, but a room will absorb different frequencies at different rates. This room will absorb a lot of highs, and this room will absorb a lot of lows. So your worship space is unique, and it will absorb some of the frequencies. So soundboards can add or take away certain various frequencies. Each channel strip will have at least three frequencies that it can be added or taken away. There's generally a high, a mid, and a low. Some churches will have what's called a 32-band EQ attached to the whole system, so that the whole sound, you can adjust 32 different bands. So it's not just low, mid, and high. It's like low, a little bit more low, little, 32 different frequencies from low all the way to high. And that way, some rooms will have like two little narrow frequencies that sort of, when you hit that note, everything starts shaking and reverberating, and you can just eliminate that one out of 32, just bring it down. How to diagnose and fix sound problems with EQ. Okay, so this is good to understand. Your sound people should know these things, but as a music director, you should know these things too. So when you hear it, if the sound person doesn't adjust it, you can say something. Number one, if the sound is not clear but muddy and it's hard to understand the words and it's dull,
you know, like as I'm speaking right now, this sound is very dull. Amazing Grace. If I take the reverb off, it's really dull. Hello, hello. Now, if I take the high on the EQ and I take it away, hello, 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 it gets even duller. If I add EQ, hello, hello. Oops, I'm doing the wrong one. Hello, there it is, hello, okay. Hello, so here is sort of, I have all the EQ knobs right in the middle. If I go down with the high, hello, 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 now it seems even dull, it sounds distant, seems far away, everything seems really dull. But if I add EQ, hello, 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 do you notice how it got clear? But now if I have too much, it sounds a little tinny, doesn't it? It's like, eh. Too low sounds really dull. Too high sounds really tinny. So I have to sort of put it right in the middle. Oh, that's not too bad. If the sound is screechy or harsh or piercing, that hurts your ears, that's when the high is too, hello! And if you had like five people singing at that, it can actually, especially when the women, if the EQ of the women is high, it can actually hurt people's ears. So we turn down that a little bit. And then number three,
if the sound seems like it's coming out of an old speaker or it's coming from a different room or distant, you've got to turn down the mids. Okay, so the mid is here. Hello, hello, hello. If I turn the mids up, hello, hello. It just sounds like it's coming out of some little box or something. Hello. It doesn't sound good. If we take the mids all the way out, now it sounds very hollow. So if the mids are high, it sounds like a box. Hello, hello. Sounds like a cheap, you know, $3 speaker. We turn the mids totally off, and now it lacks any body. So mids add a little warmth. I think that's the next slide. If the sound is, and especially the voices lack warmth, then we want to add a little of the mids. There. Feels a lot better. And then the low. If the sound is lacking depth or thump, then you got to turn the bass on. So here's the bass. The bass is totally
off. Here's the bass.
The bass is off, and it sounds a little bit hollow.
If the bass is all the way on, hello, hello. Now it has this kind of boomy, you know, hello, hello. It's too much. If you turn it off, then it lacks some body, so then you have to find the right spot. Now, you can set these EQs perfectly for one room,
and you're in that room and it sounds great, and then you move the sound system to another room, and all that room, it doesn't sound good at all. So you really have to tweak these knobs. I think the biggest mistake, at least that I hear, is people don't have enough highs. The sound it sounds like a different room. It's very dull, so highs have to go up. But highs have more tendency to create feedback if your speaker's not in the right place. And so then people turn down the highs, but then, you know, the words aren't clear, the sound isn't crisp. For me, the sound is like, when it's right, it feels like the music is right here. And when it's wrong, it feels like the music is somewhere else. It feels like it's coming from someone's car, is coming from another room. And then the same thing with the balance between the music and the singers, you know, the voices and the music. When it's right, you can hear all the instruments, but it feels like the singers are right there. So sometimes what you hear is the music is right. We can hear every musical instrument, but then the singers are in the distance. They feel like they're behind the music. Or the singers are so loud that you can't hear the different. You can't even hear, is that guitar player playing? I can't hear a thing that the keyboardist is doing. So getting that balance right for the singers and the music. Number five, unclear distant sound, like the sound is coming from another room, which is could be a monitor or it could be an EQ issue, but sometimes it's a monitor issue. The monitors are the speakers that the singers and the instrumentalists listen to how they're playing. But there's an escalation of sound often on a stage. A lot of times the guitar players will have their own amps so they can hear what they're doing. And, of course, the drums might be on the stage and the drummer's playing and they're loud. So then the guitar player wants to hear more of himself, so he turns his up. And then the other guitar player can't hear his because his is louder, so he turns his up. And then the singers can't hear their voices, so they ask that more of their voice get put into the monitor. Now their voice is louder, so then the guitar player can't hear what he's doing, so he turns his up, and then the other guitar player turns his up, and then the singers can't hear. And after a while, after a few weeks, the sound on the stage is getting louder and louder and louder. And soon, half the sound that the congregation hears is from the monitors bouncing off the front wall. And that sound is poor quality. So you have the monitor speakers pointing at the band and the worship team, and they can hear it, but it's going the opposite direction of the congregation. The congregation is over here. So it's coming to the singers, and then it bounces off the front wall of the sanctuary, and it goes back to the people. And it's this bounced off the wall sound. Half the sound that they're hearing is the bounced off the wall sound, and that's not very... You know, it's distant sound. So the sound guy, I mean, what can he do? He can't crank the main speakers loud enough to get a nice clear sound because of half the volume is the monitors. So that happens in almost every band. And so how do you fix the monitor issue? The best solution is an in-ear monitor system. This system is expensive, but it's coming down in price because of digital mixing boards. We have a digital mixing board now at our church, and these in-ear monitors are, I think they're a third of the price that they used to be. The in-ear monitor system, what it does is send a signal from the soundboard to the stage via Cat5 wire, so it's just one small little wire. It sends the sound to a box that has 16 channels. And each person on the stage gets one of these boxes. And with this box, each person on the stage can make their own monitor mix that is delivered to them via earbuds, thus eliminating the notes on the stage. So our guitar player, he has 16 different channels. You know, one of them is the keyboard, one is the singer, one is that singer, one is the drums, one is this, and one is him. And he can adjust the volume on all of that sound. So he has actually become a sound mixer guy. And if he wants himself twice as loud as everything else, he can have himself twice as loud as anything else. It's up to him what he wants. And it goes to his ear and it doesn't go to anybody else. So if everyone on stage has one of these things, you don't need any monitors. There's no sound bouncing off the front wall going to the people. And 100% of what the people hear in the congregation is coming out of the main speakers pointed right at them, and the sound is pretty good. The next best solution is to get everyone on the stage used to less overall monitor on the stage. Everyone wants more. Everyone would like to hear themselves clearly. but people have to get used to listening with less volume, especially those who have control over their own amps, so the guitar players. They have to get used to listening to less. As a singer, I got used to just hearing, you know, out of the main speakers, I can sort of hear it bounce off the wall. Or you know what? You just have to, once in a while, if I can't hear myself, I just put my hand over my ear while I'm singing, and, you know, especially a tight spot, and I can hear myself. So you have to teach people to less monitor so we don't have this... this weakening of the sound. Number five, when a single voice starts a song, this is a pet peeve of mine, when a single voice, one person starts a song, or maybe just a piano, and the sound is really soft compared to when the whole band joins in. In other words, this song is going to start off with a little piano intro. And what happens is sound people will leave the piano volume at the same volume that the piano is at when everyone is playing, everyone is singing. So when everyone is playing and everyone's singing, the piano can't be, you know, let's say at this level, because everything, you know, would be at that level and it would be way too loud. So the sound people adjust all the singers, all the players and everything to this loud, and then you combine all the sound and it produces an acceptable volume. Okay, but now the next song starts out with just the piano player playing. There's no singing, there's no other instruments, the drum isn't playing, and the only thing is the piano. In our ears, it'll sound really, really soft. If the piano is just left where it's always at, it will be really, really soft. If you listen to a CD, you know, and sound engineers, when they mix and make a CD for a song, what they do when a singer starts out or a guitar player starts out or you know, some small little thing starts out, they will boost that volume. That volume will be almost 80% of the total volume when everything else comes in. If it isn't, our ears say, wow, this is way too soft. So the piano, if it's come introducing a song, the sound people have to boost up that volume. But now when the rest of the band comes in, they have to take it down. Or if there's just one person starting, you know, playing the guitar and starting the song, that voice has to be boosted up and the guitar has to be boosted up. And then when other things join in, you have to turn them down because the combined volume would be too loud. Now that's where compression comes in. There's effects that you can put on your soundboard that actually will do that for you. In other words, you set the piano pretty high and the voice pretty high, but when everything comes in, the effect will take the total volume and just push it down. And so when people make CDs, the reason why they sound so good is because they have a lot of compression. So when the CD gets really soft, it's never really that soft. So that's the fix. I guess I sort of went over that. How to fix the lack of volume issues. The soundboard operator has to temporarily boost or turn up the volume. Okay, I went over that. Making a CD, compression. Okay, number six, the last of the six problems and how to fix them. The overall sound is too loud, according to some people in the congregation, and too soft for others. That's a problem all the time. You're after the service, you're going to have someone who would say, you know, it'd be nice if it was a little louder, and other people would say it was too loud, and then there's a few people in the middle that say it was just right. The fix to this problem is to buy a sound meter or find an app for your phone that measures decibels. The average contemporary church service runs at not more than 95 decibels. A rock concert is at about 120. Now, a rock concert hurts your ears. I mean, when I go, I put something in my ear. I mean, I like it loud. You know, you feel the thump in your chest and it's, you know, really cool. But, you know, your ears are ringing the next day. So 95 still has quite a bit of volume. Some people wouldn't like it that loud, but I'm just saying on average, that's what a contemporary church would run at. You can just tell people that you have a meter. You know, some people think that when you can hear a lot of bass that it's loud, but bass isn't really the thing that makes it loud. It's those highs that hurt your ears. When the highs are really loud and harsh, that's what hurts your ears. Mics, okay, number six or seven. Mics not on, you know, this is a common problem, but mics not on when a person sings or the solo instrument is not loud enough. The problem for the soundboard, and you have to understand the problem the soundboard person has, is he's got, you know, 16, 24, 32 controls, and he's a whole sea of people up there. There's five singers, and okay, which mic, you know, unless the sound person has it labeled, and he should. The sound person should have it labeled. We'll talk about that in the next session, who's who. But it's hard to, you know, and mute, and who's coming in. And so a lot of sound people solve the problem by just leaving everything on. every mic, it's on no matter what. And then there's a lot of feedback issues. If a mic is just sitting on stage and it's on, it's going to pick up a lot of stuff and create a lot of trouble. So it's good to mute it. But then the sound person forgets to do it. Number one, how do you fix that? Sound operator does not know the music well enough. Okay, so he doesn't know that the solo is coming. And so when the solo comes, he just didn't turn the volume because the electric guitar is playing and he's, you know, just in the mix somewhere. But all of a sudden he has to be a lot louder. Well, they didn't know the solo was coming until it was too late. I should have marked a lead sheet so that the sound person really needs to be just like a regular person in the band. He needs to have his lead sheet with the music and the chords. And he has to mark it. You know, this is where it comes. He has to listen to the tape if there's a tape recording of it. Or come to practice and know the song. He should know. The sound person should know the song as well as the players and the singers. Or number two, the sound operator needs to clearly label each channel on the soundboard for every singer and instrument player. I know the soundboard player controllers will say, oh, yeah, I know. He's number two and he's number five. But in the heat of the battle, in the middle of the song, they're not going to remember and they get their headphones on, they're trying to find which one, and by then it's too late. So those are the seven major problems of how to fix it. And I'm not saying you're going to fix it as the music director, but the more you know about it, the more you can sort of keep your ears. These are the common things, so watch out for them and look for them.